Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on The Bachelor. Things get steamy as erotica takes center stage. Then, Sarah and Victoria battle it out for our villain of the week. Finally, Katie takes the reins as yet another contestant says a testy goodbye. All that and more, it's the most dramatic episode ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm Jared Freed.
And we are back with another week of Matt James season. Last night, I really enjoyed last night's episode. We have, we pick back up at the end of the rose ceremony from last week. Sarah, she ends up fainting at the rose ceremony. Marilyn gets sent home. We have a group date where they're writing some weird erotica. And of course, Ashley I has to show up. Then we have Sarah ruining the group date that evening. We have a one-on-one date with Serena P. And we have another date card where basically all the girls bully Sarah into leaving. So we have a very exciting episode to talk about.
I also want to mention that at some point, The Bachelor has started with like a cold open every episode, like a weird comedic sketch for like 10 seconds at the beginning of each episode. Like, I don't understand what's going on. I keep thinking that my cable's messed up. Like last night, they started with the donkey date.
Yeah, it's a new thing this season where they just open with like a crazy scene. I don't like when The Bachelor takes the mirror to itself. That's kind of like why I always like shied away from Paradise. Like that opening Paradise intro where they're all like doing jokey joke time. It's like, no. You guys are hot. You get free trip around the world. We get to make fun of the donkey coming up. Let us meme this event. Let us scream at the TV. You know, like, so now they're doing this thing where they, you know, they did it in episode one. It surprised me too, because I was like, Katie the vibrator girl, like awards in the, and it's like you've given away the fun part of the show. And then we end up seeing it anyway. So I end up starting the show like, 10 seconds, you know, I wait for the whole, you know, like donkey thing. Like, it's the least interesting part of the show, too. Like, that's the part for us to make fun of. Like,
yeah, it's not as fun if they're in on the joke.
Yeah, you've got to give us that. Where there's a lot of things to make fun of, but like, don't take anything else away, especially the Paradise thing. I totally agree with you. Like, having them do those little goofy intros and it's like, let me get hit with the sand while laying in water or whatever. It's like, okay.
Look hot. Yeah.
Just yeah. Do look your hot job. And let us do the jokes.
Yeah. And it's like, when I saw the opening for Paradise, I was like, what's this show going to be? Are they going to all be like, not care? Like, I need some reality to my reality TV, and I need someone to take it seriously. Like, it's never fun when nobody takes it seriously. Like, then we don't have a show.
I need someone to take reality TV seriously because we're fucking not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
at all.
Literally.
So
then we finally get back to the rose ceremony where Sarah is passing out, fake passing out. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the theme of tonight. Like, we all hate Victoria. We've all made it. Everyone in the world has taken what is now an uninteresting take of like Victoria stinks, which we all agree on. Like, there's nobody out there that's like defending her. But Victoria then brings up, at first, in the first minute, Victoria's like, oh, faking a fainting episode. And you're like, Victoria, what a reach. You know, like,
she literally says, pull it together and don't faint. This is The Bachelor, not the Sarah show.
Yeah. And we all laugh at her. But now looking back, you're like, this was the central theme. This is the conundrum of this episode. To me, it is thematic. The conundrum of this episode and the toughest part, and this is Like, I always think of The Bachelor as a metaphor for America and the discourse. And this whole thing is a metaphor because Sarah has real issues. She has a dad who has ALS, and like, and we all feel horrible about that. We wouldn't wish that on anyone in the entire world. We all want him to get better. We all want, like, you know, in whatever way, you know, we're all on team. We hate ALS and hate disease, and we don't want anyone's father to be passing away. Correct. But then you have this thing where it's like, is she, can you be awful also? Like, can she be taking up other people's time? Like, because there's a moral high, you know, and in the beginning we're like, Victoria, fuck you. People can faint. And then the more Sarah gets chronicled in this show, the more you go, is Sarah a dick? Is Sarah,
you know? It is kind of like, just because something bad happens to someone doesn't mean they're a great person, which, like, you hate to say, but it's like whenever anybody dies in my, like, parents' past, my dad's always like, oh, yeah, he was a great guy. And I'm like, that's not what you used to say about him. He's just dead now. So
yeah,
but I agree, where I was like, I don't know how to feel, but I do think.
And what are you allowed to say? Like, because this is kind of what happens on the internet. The internet will take the moral high ground in every position because everyone wants to look good. Everyone wants to get their like. So they'll be like, you have to, because Sarah's going to get defended. And I think she pulled a lot of moves in this episode where I was annoyed with her for the women. The other women have a right to be annoyed. And then you know, in this opening scene, before we know what happens in the episode, we're sitting there going, oh, the girl passed out. She's probably worried about her dad. She's probably not sure if she should be there. Oh, my God. Victoria's, you know, victim blaming a pass out person. Like, what are you, out of your fucking mind? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I just thought this whole rose ceremony, now looking back, is so interesting because, you know, there was a moment where Kayla has the most honest moment I've ever seen on a reality show. Kayla goes, you know, I'm not, you know, she was like, I'm not happy she passed out because it takes time away from me. I would never, you know, Kayla takes this like very nuanced approach. She's like, I'm mad she took time away from me, but I can't say that because someone's sick. And you're like, yes, Kayla, like you're all of us in this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a friend in high school who would pass out all the time. Like, I mean, like at least once a week, you would be walking down the hall with her and then talking. And all of a sudden you're like, where is she? And she would just be like lying on the ground. But she would always be like, don't make sure they don't call an ambulance. I don't want the attention. But then she would always be like, I can feel when I'm about to pass out. And so then it got to the point where I'm like, why are you doing this in the middle of like concert?
The hallway.
You don't
pulling
want
over your car once you get to school and then being like, I was going to pass out. I had to block traffic.
Yeah. So you don't want ambulance attention. You want fun high school attention. You know, it's like, and it's like no one can disagree with you because we're like, holy shit, she passes out in the hallway. But then at, you know, the third pass out, I'm sure you were like, fuck this chick. It's like, you know, like my girlfriend will be like, I'm starving. And I'll go, you should eat. And she's like, no, that's what people, and I'll be like, and she'll go, no, I'm starving. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. Do you want to go to the hospital? Should I find you?
Yeah, like, what I don't know what to do.
So that's kind of, I just felt this episode was so interesting because, again, Sarah's going to find her tribe, so to speak. Sarah's going to find the women and men who watch this show and go, no, they were all so mean to her. But like, I mean, we're going to go through the recap, but I just thought this, and then Matt, you know, obviously goes out and helps her. They get themselves together. It becomes a showdown of, you know, Victoria, the last rose, whether Victoria or Marilyn's going to get it. I have to say, I wasn't the biggest Marilyn fan. Victoria was so bad that we were like forced into this position of cheering for Marilyn, who always sounded like she was about to cry. She's like, and you're like, okay, get rid of both of them at this point. Yeah. Like, I didn't really care.
Yeah, I was surprised that, well, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised that he kept Victoria, but I thought he would keep maybe Marilyn on, and maybe there would be like a two-on-one date between the, like,
yeah,
between the three of them. And, you know, when Marilyn, even when she got sent home, she was like whispering. She was like, I just don't know, like, why I'm getting sent home.
Well,
oh God, this is so sad. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why is she whispering?
It makes more sense that Matt gave her the orchid now. He's like, I better give this chick an orchid because she's like on her last breath or something.
She's on the brink.
Yeah, like I did, like, in defense of choosing Victoria, I would much rather, I can understand Victoria being a fun person in Matt's eyes. Matt's not seeing the show that we're seeing. And seeing, yeah, like, Victoria's talking about sex. She's cutting people off. She's kind of laughing. She's getting laughs sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes she gets laughs. Or do you pick Marilyn, who's like, I just think...
whining the whole time.
Know, yeah, it's like, get the fuck out of here. I want the girl who wants to fucking blow me. You know, get out of here.
Yeah, I felt Marilyn too. And then, I mean, moving into our first group date where they're like doing the erotica, I was like, yeah, what a missed opportunity for Marilyn. This is where she could have really let her ASMR shine. Like,
but, absolutely.
So, yeah, we move into their erotica date,
Which was just a plug for Chris which Harrison's was book.
A, yeah, full challenge just to sell Chris Harrison's, which I now know is an erotic novel. I thought it was like a biography.
Can we talk about how crazy this book is? The book. So the idea is that Chris has a front row seat for love. So now he has credibility as a fan fiction erotica writer. Is that is that the premise here?
That, I'm like, so you're like a voyeur outside the room?
Yeah, is that the weirdest thing ever?
But isn't this like still like low-key Disney? I saw somebody like, it's ABC. So like, what is the, what is he doing like promoting this erotica book? But also it feels strange that Chris Harrison is writing something like this. I look at him and it feels like it doesn't track, and it makes me feel a little uncomfy.
Well, it's the most uncomfy because you have to think about it. It's not like he's experiencing The Bachelor. He's just watching The Bachelor happen from the set. So what? He hosts the show and then he goes to his room and he starts writing under a dim, in a like a, in a dimly lit room, like, and Matt James touched her buttocks. Like just the explanation of someone be like, "Hey Chris, what's the book about?" And he's like, yeah, you know, I've been watching all of this, these people rub, you know, dry hump for all these years. And
all
I figured,
these years.
Yeah, I figured I had something. I've been dreaming these up in my room in between shoots. Like, what? Yeah.
And you know, there's a ghostwriter. I find it very hard to believe Chris Harrison can write a full novel. No offense to him. But like, I just, that felt so... yeah, addy to me. It's
very pluggy, very, you know, ShamWow, very like, and also Chris sets it up by saying to the women, he goes to read the date card and he says, I have personally planned these dates to make Matt a little uncomfortable because he wants to be uncomfortable with you. And it's like, okay, so, and date number one is my book, which you can buy on Amazon. Like, what? Yeah.
Now we're all uncomfortable, Chris.
And then on top of that, he has Ashley Ike show up to present it. And it's like, I feel like she's the weirdest person to talk about this because wasn't she a virgin up until like yesterday?
I did tweet that. I was like, very full circle. Ashley Ike came on as a virgin and is now
promoting erotica books.
Well, it only makes sense because she's the princess of plug. Like, Ashley Ike has been coming on this show to collect Instagram followers since she got off the show, and now that she's married she can't go on Paradise, so she's just looking for ways to plug herself. Like, it I don't think there's a thing Ashley I would say no to. Like, she's like, they're like, yeah, do you want to read some erotic fan fiction that Chris wrote while he's hovering over your shoulder making sure you're reading the parts right? And she's like, yeah, of course, I'll do anything, please.
Someone, did you see on Instagram that somebody like came for her on his post and was like, why does she keep coming back? And he commented to them and was like, hey, Kathy, suck it. She's my friend. Blah, blah, blah.
So, Chris Harrison?
Yeah.
No.
He wrote, you can suck it, Kathy, to this woman commenting on his Instagram post.
You could tell there's people he likes. Like, it's very obvious. Like,
yeah,
he does become friends with certain people. I have met Ashley, I, and Jared. And I will say that woman's a worker. Like I everything that mm-hmm. like every time she shows up, you're like, yeah, of course she found her way into Chris's group chat with Lauren Zima. Like there's no, you know, yeah. like this
she's
is,
been on this show before.
Yeah, she was on our show last season. We did her podcast last season as well. So I mean, it's
yeah. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
I'm sure she reached out under the email ashleyipr@gmail.com and it was one she created for herself.
Assistant yeah. at Ashley I.
yeah, Ashley I has I created my assistant's email and I answer my assistant's email yeah. energy to her and everything she does.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights out on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with this exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It is targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. It is amazing. I've been wearing it for years now. It fits me so well, and I'm not kidding you. When they say it doesn't roll down, it does not roll down, and it hugs you in all the right places. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, so we start with Matt reading the erotic fiction he wrote. That was like, he was reading it like slam poetry. Number.
I know. I mean, word for word, it felt so scripted and there was no like feeling behind it.
He's like, and then she kisses my lips. And then there's like bongos.
Honestly, when Victoria did hers, I was dying when she gave like a little snippet to Ashley.
Oh my god,
first,
she's and, like, and then he eats my fucking pussy and fucks me sideways.
Yeah.
And
I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, they literally bleeped out Victoria for like 15 minutes. She's like, you just see lips moving, and it's just like beep, asshole, beep, licks
she did
my
get
toes.
Me at the part. Beep. Where she said, at the very end, she was like, and then she said, yes, queen. And honestly, I laughed at that.
No, I...
that
I
got actually, me. that
this
got
was
me.
I thought Victoria did a great job. I was like team Victoria in this. Like,
I know.
She came out... Like, someone has to be that person. Someone has to be the person mm-hmm. that's like, and I put your cock in my mouth and I, you know, swirl it around.
Yeah, she literally left. She was literally like, and then I push you down on the bed so I can bleep your bleep. And I was like, wow, she literally didn't even like come up with a euphemism, anything. Just full on.
I bet Matt keeps her around to the fantasy suites just because of this.
I don't know about that, though, because did you catch when he was like talking to Sarah and he's like, who was he talking to? That was like, sorry, I didn't like go too far out there. And he's like, no, I appreciate that. I like some left up for the imagination.
Oh
yeah, I think
I'm a great sexter. I love a sext. I would have been ready for this. I mean, ready for this.
Also, you got to do the voice with it. Like it's all, like you said, Marilyn with the ASMR. Like this is like I think Matt has to say that to everybody. Like he's not going to be like, yeah, where the fuck you didn't talk about tonguing my asshole? What the fuck is wrong with you? Like he's not gonna like turn to them. But what did you think of the chocolate cake thing? He said chocolate cake in such a way that it like it went through the TV for me. Like I was like looking around. I was like, can anyone see that I'm sweating right now? Like this is like I was more into it than you guys were. It sounded like I thought he did a good job
at first. Well, when he started reading it, for some reason I thought he was reading one of the girls. I thought he was going to read all of them and then pick the one that he liked the best. And then I realized that was his. And I was like, oh, okay.
Like whoever gets me the hardest wins the prize.
See, I wish Matt James's was written by Chris Harrison so we could like get a taste for what we're in for on the book. Like, wouldn't that have been cool? Just like, like Chris to be standing there, like thumbs up, like like him enunciating the words from his chair,
pronouncing like, it. Yeah, like-
I think that when Ashley first came out, wasn't she reading from his book?
Yes.
Like I think they did get a little snick, and even that, I was like, I don't want a full novel of this,
especially when Dad Chris Harrison is there. The last few seasons, Chris Harrison has looked too old to write fan fiction to be in the room while it's being read. Like, he's in New Balances. He's got his, you know, the shirt with the cuffs, you know, folded over, the divorced dad shirt that has the paisley on the cuffs. Like, he's aging out of certain events. I think.
We want the guy that like wrote Game of Thrones that just like sits in his like cabin and writes and no one sees him or cares about him. They're just like, give us pages.
But then you have to think about Chris Harrison's son who's in college right now,
probably watching with his like dorm.
Humiliated, being like, yeah, my dad writes fucking bachelor porn.
Chris. Yeah, so then they go to the second part of the date after the erotic section. And Sarah shows up, not Victoria. I'm getting my villains confused.
This is when we go into the Sarah show, essentially, where we get this, where she gave us the little like preview at the beginning of, hey, I'm passing out in the middle of the rose ceremony. And now it's every other time there's something wrong with Sarah. She's locked in her room. She shows up on the date. And so...
That's also, remember Corinne's season when she would be like locked in her room all the time and nobody like, everyone's just like, haha, Corinne's in her room.
They were probably happy Corinne was in her room.
Well, Corinne like owned it. She was like, yeah, I just nap. Who wouldn't nap? Why not? Yeah. She was the nap queen.
Fair.
And so like, no, but there is a scene between because the erotic fan fiction date is, they bring in the other women to be the studio audience. Sarah watches the other women do these fan fiction things, and then they go back to the house and the other women go on their date. And before we get to the second part of the date, they go to Sarah, who's like saying that she feels uncomfortable with this. And it's like, this is one of those things that's indefensible. You came on the show. Mm-hmm. It's 30 women date one man. No one surprised you with the premise of the show. You came on. So Sarah's sitting there kind of like, it kind of felt like she was like hugging the cross, just being like, I don't know. It's just things got real today. And it's like, okay, I understand her viewpoint of going, it got real for me today. That's okay. I think that's a totally human emotion.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? But for her to then go, well, he has to know. It's like, no. That's the point where you go, I should have known. It is the show. Like, you don't have a right that your feelings are more important than anyone else on the show. That's what it kind of felt like in that moment.
Yeah.
Where she's like, I'm going to go talk to him. And it's like, well, hold on. There's a date going on. You had a one-on-one. What are you talking about?
It was also like, this is the moment you're going to choose to make this stand. It's not like they were doing the things that they were reading, like which they will later on. And then you'll have to deal with that. So that's As soon as she did that, I was like, okay, she's going to send herself home tonight.
She also acknowledged it. I mean, she acknowledged the fact that she was like, I do understand, like, this is what I, like, signed up for. But the fact that she couldn't get past it is, like, I think our issue is that she acknowledges, yeah, I signed up for this, but I didn't know how hard it would be because I know Matt and I have more of a connection than he does with any of the other girls. And it's also like, who are you to say that? Like, how do you know? He's not sitting there saying like, this is how my date went with so-and-so and this is how I feel about so-and-so. All you know is you. And yes, you probably have a connection with him, but that's all you have.
Sarah feels like she has it feels like she's the star of her friend group. Like, it feels like she's the hottest person in the group and that everyone kind of, like, looks up to her. This happens. I know nobody wants to admit this, but a lot of friends groups have this dynamic where it's this one person who's, like, uber gorgeous. Everything is their story. Everyone's following their story. And everyone else kind of concedes to that person. And it felt like Sarah didn't realize that everyone on this show is that person in their friend group.
Everyone.
It's not, she expected, it did seem like she expected everyone to just understand. And it's like, no. None of us understand. You got your time. Go home. You got your rose. Everyone else's turn.
And that's that.
She's definitely the hot friend, is the vibe. And let us not forget that she was dating G-Eazy not but 9 months ago before.
Oh, I didn't know this. Really?
Apparently.
She was spotted.
Apparently G-Eazy was like dating this girl known as a mystery woman, and somebody found the photos from March and was like, that's Sarah, who's now on The Bachelor. Whatever, the women all turn on Sarah. Victoria is like a goddamn sharpshooter, like ready to take her out. You can see like the glee in her face when she hears that she interrupted the night date.
Well, that was, she comes up and interrupts Vibrator Katie's moment, which I think it's like, again, like, you want to interrupt the wrong person? How about America's sweetheart, Vibrator Katie?
Yeah, you can't interrupt Victoria. Interrupt anybody else. But Katie, you can't interrupt her.
And Katie kind of goes, like, Katie does the thing I would do. Like, I'm one of those person that would go, like, I would know what this person's doing is wrong, but I would still submit to it and then rethink it and be like, what am I, a fucking idiot? Like, how could I not say something? She comes downstairs. Victoria like turns to her. Victoria's powers that were once used for evil are now being used for good, and is like, get up there, get up, stop it. And you're like, yes, you kind of like, there was a moment where I'm like, Victoria becomes the voice of the audience, right?
Victoria is definitely the type of person that, you know, when people are like, trust me, you don't want to be on her bad side.
Yeah.
That's Victoria. Because, like, that is the friend that if somebody was, like, doing some shit to me, I would be very glad to have a Victoria.
Oh,
But the second you look at her wrong, she's like, fuck you, you fat bitch. Like,
honestly, if I were Katie, I don't think I would have gone back up there myself. I think I would have sent Victoria up there, and I think I would have like manipulated the situation, confided in Victoria, and been like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I think, like, I wish I had, you know, hyping Victoria up a little bit. Like, I wish I had your confidence to go up there and say something like that. Then Victoria goes up there, blows up the whole thing, so you don't have to get the blood on your hands.
Yeah. She goes back up there, and Vibrator Katie pulls one of my favorite moves ever that I've ever seen on this show. She goes back up, and Sarah's like, she goes, can I, you know, you've had your time. And like, she has. You got to, how much could you have to say? You're not going to get a full date. Whether it was 60 seconds or 8 minutes, how much time does she need to talk with him and be like, I just want to let you know I feel upset about what happened today. Like, that's really all she has to say.
Yeah.
She goes, I need 5 minutes. She goes, 2 minutes? Now they're, like, you know, negotiating this time thing. Like, they're sharing a kid in a divorce. And then he's like, and then Katie goes, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. And then just walks to the corner of the room and waits behind, like, a mesh screen, like, a changing screen. Like, I thought that was great.
And then she comes and sits on the couch with them.
Yeah, that
afterwards.
Was.
Afterwards. And then she comes, she was like, oh, yeah. Well, she was like, it's almost time. So I'm just going to squeeze my way on into this couch. And so, like, Sarah's trying to finish up, like, which I love that. And then you have, and then after that, you know, Sarah comes back down. She apologizes to the girls for taking up their time, you know, apologizing after the fact, which is what the girls had the issue with. She was like, they were like, yeah, but you could have said something to us before. Like, we were worried about you. We did like feel something. And now we just know that you were up there stealing our time away. And now you're going to apologize.
This is when Victoria was so great, because Victoria nailed it. She was just like, yeah, you go, you know, now you're going to come down. Now you're going to do this. And she goes, you already had a date yesterday. Like literally like calls it out, like the whole timestamp of it, right?
Well, and then isn't this when Sarah, like, they go outside and Sarah's like, yeah, I thought that we had like a good relationship. And I was like, now I'm questioning Sarah. I'm questioning everybody in this situation.
Yeah.
Sarah thought that her and Victoria were close friends when last episode she said that if Matt kept Victoria, it would make her question his motives and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I think Victoria went a little easy on, like, compared to how she's been acting to every other girl in every other situation. I felt like Victoria, at least in this instance, not later, but in this instance, she went really easy on,
I think it was
Sarah.
Strategic. I felt like it was like a cat getting a mouse. Like, she was like,
yeah, she's gonna
try
play
to
with
draw
it.
Her in and then stab her in the face.
It did the whole scene was unbelievable too, especially because Sarah's level of not getting it, Sarah's level of like thinking she was gonna talk her way through the eight other women or however many women were on this date, and they were all just gonna turn to her and go, "Oh, of course," like, and forgive her. Like, I. That was the moment where I was like, this is hot girl energy. This is hot person energy of like, oh, you think we're all just going to go, oh, of course. Thank you for telling us that you took our time. Like, right?
Has she never seen the show before? This never works out positively for anyone. You don't interrupt a group date that you're not on, and you don't go talk to the lead outside of normal hours, because you'll usually end up getting sent home. Like, there's a few rules in this show that are always a constant, and those are two big ones, and she just keeps fucking them over.
Well, I also felt that every time Matt was like, you know, I've never done this before, I was like, obviously, and it shows. Like, he has no idea. I'm like, have you seen the show before? Like, you're gonna make these women go absolutely insane and like have an uprising.
Matt does do a good job of letting it not be about him in those instances. Like, he almost takes the non-position to a point where they come down and they're like, so, you know, like the whole interaction between Vibrator Katie and Sarah, it's like, he was there the whole time. I never even knew he was there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and then he comes down after Sarah leaves and he's like, hey, ladies, like, no mention of like, sorry, I missed time with some of you because someone showed up and took it. He sits in between these two women. None of them blame him. None of them look at him and go, could you send her away? Like, I guess, I don't know if even that's allowed on the show, but he gives the rose to Rachel. And
which is weird to me. I have to say, the whole Rachel getting the rose thing is weird too, because I watched their conversation and I feel like they didn't say anything. I mean, obviously a lot of it was probably cut, but from what we saw, all I saw was Matt saying, you know, yeah, we haven't got a lot of time together. And she was like, yeah, but I feel like we have a really good connection and I'm glad I'm here. And he's like, yeah, I'm glad you're here too. And she's like, yeah, I just, I think that we really are connecting, saying the same thing back and forth, but not having an action. I don't know anything about Rachel, anything.
To me, that was a, we'd be a great fuck rose. Like, to me, that was like, I, you know, when you meet someone, you're just like, and you just know, like, not, you just like, the smell of them, you're like, yeah, we're gonna fuck and it's gonna be hot.
God, I
and
missed that.
I think
yeah, I'm like, Jared, what are you talking about? I haven't smelled that in years.
Take me back.
It's been a while. Okay, we're gonna try and bottle it and sell it. But I did have that vibe where Rachel and him, because he, you're right, Kay, they were just like, I feel like we connect. And it's like, yeah, that's something you say to someone you've never spoken to when you just know you guys are going to fuck. Like,
I don't
like,
know anything about her. Zero.
Well, nothing.
I can't even picture her right now. I have to like Google which one she is.
It's also a admission that Vibrator Katie is not that person. And I think like we all love Vibrator Katie. I think she's great looking and all that. But you could tell the vibe isn't there between those two. She's going to, and like, people always try to reference like plants and people that are kept on the show. Vibrator Katie, there's reason to keep her on the show as much as there's reason to keep Victoria on the show. To me, everyone in the house seems to love her. We're going to get to other stuff in a minute with her. But I'm saying like she seems to be, there are glue people in this house. And I don't think Vibrator Katie's staying because Matt's wildly into her. I agree.
It's definitely a friendship vibe with her. I agree with you. I do not see any sort of real relationship happening at the end of this, which sucks because we'll get to it later, but I still have her on as one of my, I still have her on as one of my top girls.
We can love her. It doesn't mean that he has to love her.
Yeah. I have her on my paradise list. Also potential for, you know, bachelorette. Who knows?
She's so fun.
She'd be a fun bachelorette just because, like, she does have this relatability that I think everyone can get on board with. Like, just she seems like, you know, just bringing the vibrator alone is a relatable thing, but also just like, it seems like she's getting around friends with everyone in the house. It doesn't seem like she has any enemies, or it feels like she could sleep in all the different rooms for a sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Agreed.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service, and for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
All right, so let's move on to Serena P's date. And, you know, I feel like we're back to this Sarah thing again, where she's up in her room, doesn't come down for like Serena getting ready to go out on her date or anything. And Matt comes in, asks where she is, because he was going to be like, okay, let me explain last night. And then they're like, oh, well, she's not here. So he goes up and talks to her. He's like, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Clearly it was not 5 minutes. And they're going through that whole thing again, where she's stealing all of the attention. And I really do feel like being on this show, it's not just I'm trying to win the heart of the bachelor or the bachelor at whatever, but you have to like the other people have to like you too. It's survival. Like you have to create relationships with everybody. Like, so you low key have to be there to make friends. Like there has to be some level of, I am here to make friends. I am here to create relationships with these people, because if I don't, you're going to get bullied out of the house Like, we see you later.
You also just have to, like, get through the day. Like, you don't have to be there to be making best friends, but nobody wants to, like, be in a constant state of, like, tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this was a moment where you look at Sarah and you go, it just doesn't seem like she has friendships that are even friendships, that are even back and forth. Like, anyone who's had a friendship would know, or had an even friendship would know, yeah, I've been crying for 24 straight hours. Maybe I should perk up a bit and be a nice person to live with for 5 minutes. Like she was at this point, how long has she been crying? How long has she been in her room? Like, this is,
I know.
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes up there and they start dry humping and she's like, and it's like, what, again, from Matt's perspective, what's he supposed to do? She's dealing with real life trauma, with real life sadness. And he's, and she said she's here for him. And it's like, he even said on their date, he's like, I take a lot of what did he say? He said pride or something. He was like,
yeah,
something like that, where he was like, she's here for me while, you know, her dad is at home sick. So I'm sure he has a responsibility and guilt. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to make sure this person is somewhat happy. I don't think she's using that. I don't think she's weaponizing it, but it does feel like she doesn't understand that other people are tiptoeing around her. Like, people, like, it's like when people come, like, when a relative passes away, Jews have a Shiva call and it's 5 days where, like, the whole friends and family can come pay their respects and people come to your house, they bring food, whatever. When someone comes to the house with a Shiva call, you know that they are coming and they're uncomfortable. They're in your home. They don't know your level of sadness. And you're like, and the minute you make a joke or you let them know, like, hey, good to see, you know, and you kind of smile for 5 seconds, that gives them the ability to, like, relax a little. I don't think Sarah gives that ability to other people. I think it's the Sarah show. It's the, now I sound like Victoria. It's the, I'm crying, I'm sad.
It's true, though.
Hey, wink, wink, I'm okay with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially because at this time, the girls had no idea that she had other things going on at home.
No.
So, true.
In their head, she's just completely selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have, right before it happens, Matt comes back down and he was like, you know, I was just checking on her. And blah, blah, blah. And then Victoria cuts Matt off and goes, well, it's Serena's time now.
I mean, cuts
him off. I was like, yes.
Have you ever seen the movie Captain Phillips?
No.
Where
yeah,
it's like the Tom Hanks movie about the real story of, like, the boat that got hijacked by pirates. But there's, like, this scene in the one, Tom Hanks, he's like, look at me. I'm the captain now. That was what
the minute,
yeah, that was 100% Victoria. I was like, oh, she's in charge. I would obey what she said.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
And then he was like, okay, bye. And literally just, like, leaves with Serena. Which, I'm going to be honest, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I do not love them together. I think she is a little too young for him. I think she's 22. She seems kind of, I like her as a person, but I don't think that she's right for him. I think she's too all over the place. Like, oh my God, this is so cute. And, like, everything's new.
Yeah.
Everything is, like, green and fluffy. And there's no, like, real substance to their relationship. I don't know. I just didn't get that. I didn't get a good vibe from their date.
I have her on my paradise list. I think she'd be a fun paradise person. But
it's so interesting that you say that, that, like, you both were like, no, fun girl, going to paradise. Like, it's so funny that, like, I think Matt will keep her around. And
I think she'll stay around for a while. I don't think she's going to go home soon, but I don't
think
she'll make it.
She's cute, drama-free.
It's funny. Like, I liked her for very, like, why a lot of men like certain women. Like, it was light. Like there was no moment of, like, I'm here because my whole family is dying in the next 72 hours and I must find a husband. And I think Matt James what from little bits and pieces he said, where he's like, I haven't fallen in love yet. He mm-hmm. She was like, when's your last relationship? He was like, we were together for 4 months. He references someone he was with for 4 months and never had a label. So like, right. To me, like, Serena is kind of the perfect woman for him to keep around because she offers an out that doesn't immediately become very serious right away. Like, I think she, like, exactly. even when she said, like, I'm falling in like with him, like, that to me, like, as a guy who's been, you know, deathly afraid of commitment myself, I'm like, oh, keep the in like girl. Love her. Like yeah. I need more of her. I need the girl who's not gonna fall too hard. Like mm-hmm. So I think she stays around, but I agree. I didn't think of it the way you guys are thinking of it until now, and I think you're right, but maybe not the right person, but someone Matt might need.
I feel like I've talked to you about this, whether it was like on your podcast or maybe on another Bachelor season or something, but I do agree. I think it's the light. There's no drama around her. There's no like super sad story that we've heard of yet. There's no, like, she's not fighting with the girls, but she's also not like, I'm falling in love with you. I want to have babies. Yeah. It's very like, yeah, let's just hang out, see what happens, fuck around. I don't care.
Love
like
it.
It's, and I think that he's super vibing with that. And maybe he will keep her around because of that. I think there was another girl that was like that, but I, from maybe like Peter's season or something, that was just really no drama. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not thinking that she's the one for him.
Yeah. Is this also when Sarah shows up for the date card? I believe so.
Well, now there's a new date card that it's like they're all the girls are down there and they're like, oh my God, we have a date card. This is after Serena's and they're waiting to hear about a group date. And of course, Sarah is not down there. And then, but when she hears somebody say date card, she comes out of like the woodwork and her like puffer coat and like she's getting ready to leave. And it's, I don't know. It just feels really weird that she just came down for that. And then she's trying to apologize. And, you know, Victoria's like, who the fuck are you apologizing to? And this is when Victoria really shows like the one that we've been seeing this the whole time.
Yeah, that
she
was
went really
too
easy
much.
On her. She went really easy on her at the beginning when she interrupted the first group date. But now that it keeps happening. She's like, oh fuck no. I don't know who you're apologizing to, but it can't be us. Couldn't be us. I don't know who you're talking to, but you're not forgiven.
Yeah, she goes, yeah, that I thought was like way too much. Victoria was like insane. You would have thought that Sarah had like killed a member of her family when she's like, no matter what you say, I won't forgive you.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Are you talking to? And she's like looking behind her.
Here's what I will say though. Nobody else kind of stopped it. Like Victoria at that point, again,
but
to
she
like
also
go
wasn't
back,
the only one.
That's
all
what I'm
the
saying.
Girls
like,
ganged up on her, yeah.
It felt like every and I MJ has become my vibe check person for the show. And MJ was equally upset. Like I again, you have to read between the lines with some of this stuff. Victoria, the issues people had with her, people just had with her. They did a lot of like, that's Victoria. So you can tell some people think it's funny sometimes. You can tell they couldn't really pin her down. This felt like all of the women had it with tiptoeing around Sarah's feelings. Like it really, because then even Kit, who we've gotten some Kit moments, but Kit comes in hard and is like, you're going to feel very uncomfortable in this house. Like that is that's a strong state. They didn't say that to Victoria at any time. That's
no,
a way
Kit
stronger
like,
statement.
Yeah. Kit was like, I will Tonya Harding your ass the second you walk out of your room.
Yeah. And it's like they all, and again, like, would you call this bullying or would you call this all the women standing up for themselves in this house? Like, I don't know. Like the word bullying on this show gets like, is a very serious word on The Bachelor, especially when it's a bunch of women and some women use it to like fend off everyone else as Sarah kind of did. But like, what do you guys think? Was it bullying at this moment?
I don't, I personally, I do not think so, because I think we really saw, sorry, I just read something. Sean, cut that. I was reading the outline. I don't think it was bullying, because I think we saw that, you know, Sarah kept doing this to herself and she sort of walked into it. Like I said, it's very much a place where you have to come and you're trying to make the guy fall in love with you, but you also need to make the girls fall in love with you too. So your time there isn't shitty. And I think you have to somewhat be there to make friends. And I don't think it was bullying, but I do think there were like, I think they made some points that were kind of harsh, you know, saying she was calculated and manipulative and toxic. God, again, with this like toxic thing, I don't think it's that bad, but I do think that Sarah kind of knows what she's doing a little bit to get that attention.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it bullying per se, but I do think it went too far. Like, I think that Victoria, like, was too much. If I was in the room, I would have been uncomfortable about how mean people were being.
Yeah.
It was interesting to me. Like, it was interesting to me because we have our villain, quote unquote. Victoria is the one we've all decided is this horrible person, but nobody did this to her. And no. The minute they could, Sarah obviously offended the people in the house in a different way than Victoria offended the people watching on TV. Like, Victoria to the people watching on TV is like, oh my God, she says horrible things. But it's like, maybe she's saying horrible things in the way that, like, we see on TV, like are things that we would all say ourselves. Like, maybe mm-hmm. Victoria acts in a way that when she's your friend, you let it off the hook, and when she's not, you get upset. But Sarah does things in ways that I think annoy a lot of people on a level that they're not really allowed to, like, say a lot of times.
I don't know. I think now that the girls know that there has been, you know, when she talks to Matt again, it's like, or she says to the girl, she's like, I think I'm going to leave because I am having like issues at home and blah, blah, blah. And Katie goes and talks to her afterwards. And she was like, hey, you know, for me, that was hard to watch because
Hold on. Yeah. Katie goes and finds her in a room alone crying. Like,
again,
like it is a little ridiculous that just Sarah's in a room just like,
yeah, I'm like, she must be so dehydrated. She's been crying for like days.
Yeah.
Days.
Like, that's why you're so cold. That's why you're in your puffer jacket all the time. Your body is like clinging for any kind of warmth.
So yeah, Katie comes up to her and she says,
Well, she basically is like, hey, that was hard to watch. Trying to sympathize with her a little bit. And then Sarah talks to Katie about what her family issues are and talks to her about her dad having this terminal illness. And then Katie is like, you know, I've been there. She's like, I lost my dad in 2012 and they really had a moment. And she was like, and I totally understand, you know, where you're coming from, and you should be with him if this is like your reason. Because before Sarah told Katie about her dad, Katie was like, you know what, as much as I want to say, like, get the fuck out, I also don't want to be Matt's backup plan. Like, if you really do feel like you have this connection with him, then stay and figure this out, because I don't want him to be like, maybe he ends up picking me and then he's regretting it because you're the one who sent yourself home. And that's a really good way to look at it. And I've actually never thought about it that way, but she has a point. It's like, I would rather all of these girls stay and then him be the one to send them home instead of themselves, knowing that he's keeping me because he wants to keep me and not because, well, I guess you're the last choice.
Yeah.
And it's Katie kind of like wrapped up this whole thing perfectly, like in a way that was like, okay. And it did feel like Katie was kind of making sure that, like, I think when she said that was uncomfortable, it was Katie's way of being like, yeah, we were bullying, but let's make sure people don't think we're bullies. Felt like a little bit of a cleanup.
That was totally the vibe. I don't know. The whole scene was like quintessential Bachelor. Like, I was like, this is what we come for, to be honest.
But, to watch someone get bullied and then someone to make up and for us to go, aw. And
exactly.
Then, so then Sarah packs her bags and is going to tell Matt that she's leaving. And she goes to Matt's house. Matt doesn't seem so surprised that it's her. I mean, she's shown up behind every bush that they've, like, you know, for 5 minute, you know, interactions along the way. And Kate,
also,
you know,
can we talk about the house that she shows up at? He has two kitchen islands. I still can't get over why he needs to stay in a mansion with a G-Wagon when all the girls are at a literal castle down the street.
Yeah, like, go stay in the castle so they can at least walk to your room. But maybe they need to make it more difficult to get in touch with them. Because
they're like, we want the girls to be walking in, like, 38-degree weather down the highway to his Airbnb.
If Sarah stayed, she'd be snowshoeing a car, you know, like, through the woods to get to him.
So yeah, then she leaves and it's,
can tell that he is into her though. I have to say, you can tell that he is sad. And like what he said when she was like, you know, I have to go home and I have to be with my dad and be with my family. And then she drops the bomb and's like, you know, these girls are ruthless and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh shit, she's ratting these girls out.
I didn't like that. I didn't either.
But he said to her, he's like, you know what, this doesn't mean I'm not going to stop thinking about you or praying for you or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, see, bitch, that's why you need to stay here. But I think all she wanted was that validation before she left, which, I mean, I get it.
I do think that, like, she should have left. Like, her dad.
I agree.
Like, that's so stupid. Imagine living your life being like, oh, I wasn't there when my dad passed away because I was on a reality show competing for love and then he didn't pick me.
Yeah, to me it's not dumb as much as it's just like, I don't, like, there's a point where she has to say, I'm not getting along with these people. I don't even know if this is the right guy for me, if he's sitting in on erotica fan fiction clapping for every time they say the word member. Like, you know, like, maybe we're not the the minute become like, I can understand that. That's where you come back to Sarah's side. That's where this all becomes so difficult, where you go, I can understand why she's like battling right now. She's like, I'm not going to stay here 3 more weeks and miss 3 weeks of my dad's life. And you go, yeah, but, you know, but it doesn't seem like she gave any amount of, again, as Victoria said, it's not the Sarah show. Like, you have to understand that, like, your life is happening alongside other people's lives. And it didn't seem like she ever took that into consideration. And that's hard to say because she's dealing with something all of us know is the most horrible thing in the world. So I think that was very difficult.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's get into our categories this week.
Let's do it.
And let's start with some would you rathers. Jared, start us off with a would you rather.
Okay. Would you rather read Chris Harrison's erotica book while he watches or rub your eye after Victoria touches her right eye and shakes your hand?
Oh my God.
Honestly, give me Chris Harrison's book that I is sending me.
I'm like, I would take the Victoria because you know what the best way to get out of things is? I have pink eye and I can't make it.
Yeah.
Like for like in school, remember in school when pink eye would be going around in like third grade? Like I remember kids in my class being like, rub your eye on my face because it like doesn't hurt, nothing happens, but then you get to miss school for like
Is it a pink eye
or is it a sty? I think it's a sty.
Bags under her eyes.
It's just one of her eyes,
if
though. And it has
sty,
like a little.
If that is a sty, that is the biggest. I have gotten styes.
I think it's a sty, to be honest. And it's because it's like puffy under just one of her eyes. At first, it looked like a black eye for like a second.
Yeah.
And but you could definitely see the little bump on it. I think it's a sty, and I think it's from the stress. a stress eye.
Even though she seems like the least stressed, she's probably the most stressed on the show. She's got to keep up this like asshole persona that some influencer convinced her was the right way to go. And then it's like, and then she's on this and she's trying to create enemies and friends at the same time. She doesn't know what she's going to look like on camera. She said some pretty horrible things. She clapped when someone, you know, when she sent herself home. Yeah, when Sarah sent herself home, she clapped without knowing the real reason. Yeah,
I know. Also on Katie. Katie should have been like, you guys, we can't be mean. Because now they all look like such dicks, but it's like they didn't know.
Well, she kind of did. She kind of said, like, you don't know. She gave this, like, amazing pep talk at the end. She's like,
they have like a family emergency, and that to me is like, that could be anything.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like whenever someone's like, oh, I can't make it, I have a family emergency, I'm like, you're a goddamn liar. What is it?
Yeah.
My grandma died for the 80th time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kay, do you want to go?
Yeah. Okay. Would you rather get in a yelling argument with Victoria or a yelling argument with Sarah?
Because then you're either getting ripped to shreds or you're making her
Or somebody's making you cry. So which argument would you rather get into, with Sarah or Victoria?
I would rather with Victoria, because like as soon as someone starts crying, and then I can't argue with them anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm usually the one that they'll start crying in the argument. I feel like I can't argue without crying. Is that healthy?
I'm like a frustrated crier. So then I have to like clarify. I'm like, I'm not sad. I'm just frustrated. Mind you,
I agree.
I'm definitely.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go. I was just going to get personal for no reason.
I definitely would get in a yelling argument with Victoria. There's no question. It's the reason this episode was so difficult. You get in an argument with Sarah, someone pulls you aside and goes, her father is dying. Yeah. And you go,
fuck,
I'm going to hell. I'm the worst person alive. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, that is what everyone on this episode was avoiding. That's the reason they're so annoyed. You can yell at Victoria all you want, and someone will go to you, oh, thank God you said something. And you do it to Sarah, and it's like you murdered someone. You know,
Victoria, at least it would be like a worthy opponent.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather have a therapy session with Katie or like a nice horseback ride in the woods with Matt? These are both positives.
Therapy session with Katie. I feel like she would listen to every fucking problem that I had and would have the answer.
I think say the same, only because I thought of you actually, Jared, when they were horseback riding, where he's like, what are you going to be able to keep up when they start running? And again, I was like, oh, he is again.
Yeah, he's like looking to gallop off like he's Walker Texas Ranger. Yeah, I'm definitely therapy session with Katie. She seems like a great listener. There's a reason she was able to go and like suss out what was going on with Sarah. She seems like a great person to have in the house.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do our top three women right now. How are you guys feeling this week? Because right now I have Katie, Brie. I love, love, love Brie. And I would also, this is another one that I haven't really gotten a lot of time with, but I get good vibes from her, Piper. She seems cute and she speaks a little bit, but I really hope that we get some more time with her because I would love Piper to make it far.
I think she will. I feel like she just hasn't had her moment yet, but it'll come. You don't want to peak too soon, you know?
Yeah.
My top three, who did I say? I said Katie, obviously, even though I know she's not going to make it that far. Brie, I still love, and Abigail, I still love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went with Caleb just for that one moment she had during the rose ceremony, that subtle admission of like, I'm pissed off that someone passed out before I could get my rose. Like, I love that on a reality show. I love when someone shows that they're not a perfect person for 5 seconds. Katie, just again, all the same reasons as you guys. MJ's our vibe check. MJ again.
Yeah.
Let us behind the curtain during all the, you know, MJ wasn't defending Sarah. I trust MJ. I trust her for a temperature take of the room. It seemed like she was letting us know, like, yeah, Sarah's an issue in this house. So I'm with MJ on that.
Okay, guys, let's do the Instagram rising star. I think it'll be Kit. Because Kit basically is talking in memes. I feel like Kit knows her audience. Like, especially when she's like, oh, we're missing Sarah. And then she's like, I'm not missing her. And I was like, there's an iconic meme. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. So I think Kit.
She slows down her speech. She does a lot of literally, like she's almost like cueing the camera to get her in her like meme. Yeah, it definitely has that vibe.
She wants to be mean girl, but not have like the negative mean girl around her, but the girl that kind of like speaks up just because she can, you know? Yeah.
And Kit's only like, what, 3 years out of high school?
Yeah, like barely.
Like literally, she's 21. You end high school at what, 18? She's literally should still be in college.
I think she's my IG rising star of the week as well.
Yeah, I had Sarah being an IG rising star. I think Sarah's going to find an audience because here's what happens. It's like the Kardashians. Kardashians are great at finding a storyline that has two sides that people can argue both sides, no matter how weird the other side. Like when what's her name was a self-made billionaire, like someone goes, she did make her money. You know, like people take the side of self like that. It's such a stupid argument. But like, I think Sarah's going to find the people that don't like context, the people that don't like nuance are going to go, her dad is sick. She's our angel on earth. And you're going to go, all right. And everyone backs away. So she'll find an audience via this whole thing.
I agree with you on that.
All right. Well, what about your Cringe Harrison award this week? I'm going to go with Sarah talking shit about the other women to Matt right before she sends herself home. I think that was kind of a low blow and kind of shitty on her part. I can't lie. I did not vibe with that.
I agree. Mine was when Matt was laying on her bed, laying on top of her, and she was like in jeans and a puffer coat. And he's like, your bed's so comfy. I was like, I just was like flashed back to high school.
When
guys would do that to my female friends, and I was like sitting in the corner like, what? I found that I was like, her bed's not that comfy. You're staying in a goddamn mansion by yourself.
Yeah. Mine was Matt James walking Sarah to the car. That was the most.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, after they get off the couch and he's walking her to the car, he starts holding her like they're taking prom pictures. And then they do like a three-legged race to the door. Like no one has ever walked that way in the history. The only people that walk that way are like middle school people with their first girlfriend or boyfriend where they're like, we have to hold hands at all times. And then he gets out to the car and he watches her drive away for like 18 minutes. And it's like, dude, you can go in.
Go
in the house, hang out, have a beer, chill out.
Yeah, they're like, we need you in the house so we can get some pictures of you staring out the window and then lowering your head.
I feel like since we're already on it, Jared, this is your minute. Let's hear a bro's take of this episode.
I feel for Matt. So I there's a few things I could discuss in this area. One would be maybe the charcuterie, but I've said enough about charcuterie today. we have to touch on Matt James's kissing abilities. Now, let me start by defending him. He's the one man on the show, so he is the one constant in the kissing situation. And as the man, he is tasked with making the first move. So we always get a front row seat for him kissing a woman. So because we get a lot of them, he has a lot of opportunities to make mistakes. So that is me defending Matt James. But he's got to find a new strategy. The strategy he seems to be going with is he goes in with his mouth open, forehead first. It feels like he's going in for a headbutt while also it looks like he's about to headbutt them and then eat them after that they've been concussed.
And his eyes are open.
It feels like he's looking for the cameras. He's got a mouth. Oh, he needs to concentrate on the kiss first, the camera second, because right now he's the most gorgeous man that's ever done this show, but he's ruining his credibility with every kiss. Every kiss, it's a new, and he's got to go make out with a pillow in his free time, and he's got to go mouth closed first because nobody wants to see an open mouth that looks like it's about to eat someone. He's got to lead with his lips. He's got to stop leading with his forehead. And he's got to
lead with his nose.
And
his nose.
It's all the wrong things to lead with. And we need his peepers to start squeezing shut because we can't. Because with every kiss, a little bit of Matt James's aura gets eroded. And from the men out there and the straight men, we need someone that can be a beacon of light and hope for our kind that we can all look up to. And right now, he is not a hero because every day we watch a new kiss get fumbled.
I just went to church. Amen.
I couldn't agree
Amen.
More.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He gets less hot to me every week, and I think it's because of his kissing. His nose is always covered in makeup at all times. He goes nose first into those kisses.
Practice with a pillow. Just do something. Do something.
Practice with Tyler Cameron.
Yeah,
film it.
Exactly.
Put it online.
Tyler, go visit. Get in. Yeah.
All right.
Dropbox it to Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, directly send it to me. All right, guys. Finally, and I think we all have the same answer for this. Will you accept this rose? Our who won the week? We all said Katie.
Katie won the week for me. I feel Katie like she is like the hype girl, the voice of reason, the fun, chill girl that we all kind of needed this season.
Yeah, who knew? Vibrator Katie for the win.
Let's go. Who, I'm going to say it again, but she applied for the show because of our Bachelor Nation Facebook group. And this could be you guys, so make sure you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor, on Twitter at Bachelor Pod, and then, of course, you can follow me at K York City Anywhere.
And you can find me at Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm at Jared Freed.
Make sure you guys rate, review, and subscribe, and we will see you guys next week.
Betches.